Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Advaita Acharya, my spiritual master, should never accept charity from rich men or kings. Because if a spiritual master accepts money or grains from such materialists, his mind becomes polluted. Purport. This book is a bit small, so I need new glasses. It is very risky to accept money or food from materialistic persons, for such acceptance pollutes the mind of the charity's recipient. According to the Vedic system, one should give charity to sannyasis and brahmanas, because one who thus gives charity becomes free from sinful activities. Formerly, therefore, brahmanas would not accept charity from a person unless he were very pious. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this instruction for all spiritual masters. Materialistic persons who are not inclined to give up their sinful activities like illicit sex, intoxication, gambling and meat eating sometimes want to become our disciples. But unlike professional spiritual masters who accept disciples regardless of their condition, Vaishnavas do not accept such cheap disciples. One must at least agree to abide by the rules and regulations for a disciple before a Vaishnavacharya can accept him. In fact, a Vaishnava should not even accept charity or food from persons who do not follow the rules and regulations of the Vaishnav principles. Translation once again. Advaita Acharya, my spiritual master, should never accept charity from rich men or kings. Because if a spiritual master accepts money or grains from such materialists, his mind becomes polluted. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastarya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschaste Satarine. Bancha Kalpa Trubascha Kripa Sindhu Baivacha Patitanam Babanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. The great Thakur Bhaktivinoda gives a summary of this 12th chapter in his Amrita Prabhava Bhasya. This 12th chapter describes the followers of Advaita Acharya, Lord Advaita, among whom the followers of Achyutananda, the son of Lord Advaita, are understood to be the pure followers who received the creme de la creme of philosophy Lord Advaita enunciated. Now this chapter also includes narrations concerning the son of Lord Advaita named Gopal Mishra and Advaita Acharya's servant named Kamalakanta Vishwas. According to the Advaita Prakash, Lord Advaita appeared here for some 125 years, similar to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. And he has two consorts, Sita Thakurani and Sri Devi. They are both sisters. According to the Advaita Prakash, there are 10 sons which the Lord had. Achyutanandan was his very first son. And he was the son of Sita Thakurani. And Gopal Mishra, Achyutanandan is Kartikeya. And we know that in Krishna Leela, mentioned here in the CC, he is also Achyuta Gopi. And Gopal Mishra, very unique personality, he's considered to be Lord Ganesh. The greatness of Achyutananda is truly very, very interesting, for he is a second Lord Chaitanya. Everything about him was Lord Gauranga. And hence, Sita Thakurani is in Krishna Leela, Purnamasi, Yogamaya. So hence, she is very, very attached to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Exceptionally attached. She's like a grandmother, just like Purnamasi. And Krishna Leela is like a grandmother and she'll sort everyone out. No one messes with her. So Sita Thakurani is similar in nature. And one time she offered some milk to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And her young son Achyutanandan saw the milk and took the glass. He was only 5 years old. But the Thakurani became very upset. And she slapped the child very hard. That this is for Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Why did you take? It's not yours. The following day, Mahaprabhu appears at the house of Advaita Acharya. And when he comes, Sita Thakurani sees on his cheek, right cheek, marks. And then, therefore, the Thakurani understood the position of her own son. For he is no different from Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Such an exceptional personality. And to know a little of him is very important to us. All these personalities. The appearance of Gauranga Mahaprabhu is quite unique indeed. And as we know, on the bank of the Ganga, Lord Advaita would continuously worship the Shila, inviting Gauranga to appear. And Mother Sachi was continuously having miscarriages, as we know. But on this eighth pregnancy, Mother Sachi, above stream, further above stream, was taking bath, snan. And Advaita Acharya, Lord Advaita, was continuously offering and worshipping the Shila. He offered the pushpa, the flowers, and then those flowers he then offered them to the Ganga. And as the lotus flowers travel downstream, further down was Mother Sachi. And those flowers touched the transcendental body of Mother Sachi. And hence the pregnancy was successful. Interesting pastime. We see that in his early life, Gopal Mishra, Gopal, fainted during the cleansing of the Gundicha Marjana temple, the Gundicha Mandir in Puri, and so became the recipient of the mercy of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. After describing the descendants of Lord Advaita, the chapter concludes by describing the followers of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. Mm-hmm. Last week, Saturday, His Grace Sutapa Prabhu spoke in length about the various types of atheisms. My favorite was the philosophical atheist. A fabulous class indeed. Thank you for that. I heard it again last night. The 50th verse, this 50th verse clearly tells us that charity should never be accepted from rich men or kings. And even the purport Srila Prabhupada begins by saying that it is very risky to accept money or food from materialistic persons. For such acceptance pollutes the mind of the charity's recipient. When I read this, I thought, I'm always accepting food all over the place, and it's definitely Lakshmi. Of course, if what we accept charity is for the transcendental service of Radha Gokulananda, then everything will be purified and thus accepted. I vividly recollect it was Christmas marathon, and during the marathon we accept Lakshmi from all sorts of personalities. And it was a Saturday evening, and my car had broken down. Christmas marathon, 1991. And in those days, we used to get quotas. And I had a quota which was somewhat insurmountable to achieve. And this quota was set by none other than Pranabandhu Prabhu. So you can imagine what kind of a quota it was. And we would calculate that, okay, we have 32 days, 33 days left. And then each day, Dipak was with us, each day we would have to analyze, okay, this much Lakshmi we have to bring in by hook or by crook to meet that quota. So the Saturdays were prime time because, you know, everyone's in. And my car wouldn't start. Kaveri Prabhu, possibly he's listening to this, he couldn't fix it, which many a times he can't fix cars. Now he doesn't fix any. So he just couldn't fix it. And I was frustrated. I'm thinking, I need to go out. You know, I'm short of days. What to do? So I was very worried. I was upstairs in the patron office thinking of what to do. The car was the Astra Estate, which was the norm for everyone, a Vauxhall Astra Estate, automatic, wouldn't start. And the receptionist calls up into the office. We used to have an intercom system, the old intercom system. You know? And the receptionist calls up. There's one gentleman here who wants to buy a set of Bhagavatam. I thought, oh, what? Someone has come? Yeah, don't worry, I'm coming down. Make sure he doesn't disappear. So I rush down, and I meet the young gentleman. He had a nice beard, and I do remember his name. His name was Ajay Mishra. And he said, I want to buy your Bhagavatam books, because he saw the set in the cabinet here, just across here. And I thought, wonderful, please come upstairs. I took him upstairs, made sure that no one else saw him, unless they may sabotage my contact, my person. I took him upstairs in the office, opened the set of Bhagavatams. These are all the set. This is all the books. You must take them. And I said, look, you know, with the Bhagavatam goes another set. And this is the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the highest knowledge you can ever, ever read about. You must take all the books. And he said, okay, yeah, I want them all, both the sets. And I'll pay you cash right now. Can you imagine what my eyes and mind were thinking? Ting, ching, ching, ching. He said, how much are they? So I said, well, these are the very good quality. I didn't know his background. I was just interested in the result. I said, the main set, this is the deluxe set. It's really, costing us about £368. But, we have other overheads and et cetera, et cetera. So £951 is a good figure. Now, this is over 20 years ago. It's a lot of money. And then he said, well, what about the second set? I said, this is priceless. With both the sets, take them both for 1500. And I was thinking, okay, I'm going to do some haggling here. You bring me down. I said, fine. And he brought his notes out, all in 50s. And he counted each note. And he said, here you are. And I was obviously delighted. Not going out at all, achieving the result. Took the Lakshmi, gave him the receipt, made sure I took the address down and his phone number. Unfortunately, there were no mobiles in those days. Took the phone number and he gave his office address. And he said, please visit me. And I said, I definitely will. I'm thinking, definitely. I was overjoyed. And then I, took the Lakshmi in all in 50 pound notes. I locked it away. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder where this Lakshmi is from. And I'm thinking, wherever it's from, I've got it. Then on Monday morning, we have our regular meetings. And in the afternoon, I thought, let me give him a call because it was office hours. And I called him up. And he said to me, I'd like to buy more books. I said, really? Yeah, I'll come and see you tomorrow, first thing in the morning. And his office was up the road just before you get to Peterborough, up the A1. And I had a set of Prabhupada conversation books. I think there was like 30 in the whole volume. And it was just being printed. And I'm thinking, it was soft bound. And I'm thinking, this we must distribute to him. So I went there with my partner in crime, who was Prajumna Prabhu, is now in Leicester. We both went up there, very excited, because I've already, sold the Bhagavatam set. You never know, he may be listening. If he is, Ajay Mishra, we're talking. But we sold him the entire conversation. And in total, he must have given us over £3,000. And when we went to the office, we were amazed. It was a small office. It was a young lad, well, young chap. And underneath, he had cabinets. So underneath, throughout all the walls, he had displayed the Bhagavatam. And I thought, wow, wonderful. And then on top was the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And when we took darshan of both the Bhagavatam and the CC, I thought, well, this is wonderful. But then when we had a chat with him and, we wanted to continue our relation with him, made sure that he surrenders further and further, made sure that, he surrenders further and further Lakshmi as well. Unfortunately, after a little while, maybe after 3-4 weeks, we lost contact. He had purchased all the books. And then towards the end of that marathon period, I said to Prajum, we can't get hold of him. Let's go and see him. So we went to his office, and it was empty, derelict. The books had gone, disappeared. And I was thinking, I wonder where the books are. And then I thought to myself, did we do the right thing? Where was the Lakshmi from? we accepted charity. This verse is all about charity. Did I do the right thing? Of course, we did surrender the Lakshmi. I could have put it in my pocket. But then that was a little, I felt a little better that, okay. But still, I was, even today, I'm thinking, whatever happened to him? And where's the Lakshmi from? But we know that the Lakshmi's been used in a higher purpose. And wherever he may be, I'm sure he'll receive the good fortune. Wherever the Lakshmi came from, it's been purified. The purport here clearly outlined the strictness of how Srila Prabhupada accepted disciples. The chanting of 16 rounds and regs, rules and regs have to be followed. And sometimes people do say to us, why are you people so strict? Chanting of 16 rounds just takes too long, isn't it? And Srila Prabhupada has Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki Jai Shri Shri Sitarama Lakshman Hanuman ki Jai Shri Shri Gonitai Bhagavan ki Jai. Prabhupada had perfect standards. Everything he did was perfect. He set the perfect and most conducive standards. Standards which are not, impossible to follow. We all follow them. I was just reading recently when Prabhupada was here, and his photographer was taking pictures of him. And then Srila Prabhupada became annoyed at the flash. It was a little distracting him. So he changed the photographer. Harinamananda Prabhu was his photographer. And Prabhupada, being so expert and perfect at everything, he explained to him how he wanted his pictures, the expressions. If you go upstairs here and do a left, there are all these pictures of Prabhupada, different expressions, facial expressions. And he said to Harinamananda Prabhu that don't use the flash, especially when I speak, when I give discourse, don't use the flash because it distracts me. Harinamananda Prabhu was thinking, how am I going to take pictures without the flash? This is in the 70s. And Prabhupada was giving discourse in the theater room over there, in Dwarkapuri Prabhu's theater room. And Harinamananda Prabhu set up everything for the pictures, photographs. Prabhupada clearly mentions to him, do not use the flash. And if you go in the theater room, it's pretty dark and dingy, even with the lights on. So he's thinking, how am I going to take nice pictures of Prabhupada's expressions without the flash? But regardless, he took the pictures. And Prabhupada was very conscious that, no flash. And when he developed the pictures, Harinamananda Prabhu was astounded because they were so very clear. A bit of a miracle. And it was as if Srila Prabhupada's aura had, been the flash. So everything Prabhupada did was absolutely perfect. And, in accepting charity, in then using that charity, the acceptance of that charity in the service of the Supreme Lord purifies the charity accepted. In the Nectar of Devotion, the 29th quality of the Lord is magnanimous. And in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada tells us that any person who is very charitably disposed is called magnanimous. And whilst reading that, I'm thinking, have I done any charity recently? Have I been magnanimous? But when Krishna was reigning over Dwarka, He was so magnanimous and charitably disposed that there was no limit to his charity when he was in Dwarka. In fact, so great was his charity in Dwarka that even the spiritual kingdom with all its opulence of Chintamani, touchstone, desire trees and the Surabhi cows was surpassed. Incredible. The Lord was giving charity from each 16,108 palaces. And in aggregate, he was giving charity to 13,054 cows to the Brahmanas every day. 13,054 cows in charity. And each cow was completely decorated and ornamented. Gold even. And this was the level of charity given by the Supreme Lord to the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. So we can just imagine how charitable Krishna himself was. When Rupa Goswami, as we know, when he retired from his service of the Nawab, and all the Lakshmi he had collected and accumulated over the years, and that amount of Lakshmi, when we read about it, is unimaginable for us. In current times, it would be billions and billions and billions of pounds. It was in gold coins. And when he retired, this huge boat ship was full of gold coins. And he's thinking, how should I distribute this? Now, if I was him, I would probably keep 99% of it and give 1% away to the temple. And I'm thinking, I've given a lot. But Rupa Goswami gave 50% away. And he gave that charity to who? The Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. And then the 25%, one quarter, he gave to his relatives. Extensively. Because it was duty. Out of duty, he gave to the relatives. 25% he retained for emergencies. But eventually, he surrendered that as well. Such level of charity. Incredible. We know how important it is to give charity. And not just Lakshmi, but our time, our ability, our talent, our skill. It's important. That's all charity. But charity should be given immediately, for the mind changes. When Sudama Vipra came to see Krishna, we know the story very well. And him being a Brahman, the Lord immediately gave charity. And he gave it with his left hand. And the Brahman, the Vipra, Sudama Vipra, he said, "My Lord, you've given charity with your left hand." And the reply the Lord said, well, I immediately gave it because the mind can just change. May not want to give it. So just give it. Now, I'm a very miserly person. I hoard everything, put everything away in the bank account and accumulate. I don't really want to give in charity. Why? Because of the insecurity. We may need the money in the future. Times are very hard. It's very, very difficult to accumulate a little wealth. It's better to accumulate. And by the way, I do have a family now. I have to provide for them. Let's not give anything right now. This year, it's been difficult. this year has been difficult. You know, so many things have gone wrong. Last year I gave, you know, £1,500 or whatever it may be, and I gave it for a good cause. And every year I do tend to give. But, you know, this year it is, you know, maybe I'm giving too much. This is the mind playing. What little I give should be surrendered immediately. And hence, after this class, I do hope that I'd give something in charity. And Sutapu Prabhu, if you just remind me, and I can give it to the ashram, the brahmacharis need it, I should give that. But a very miserly mentality, in particular myself. I've always been like that. It's my unfortunate nature. In the Bhagavad Gita, we see that there are countless verses, scriptures, other scriptures, Bhagavatam, countless verses about giving in charity. And in the modes, in the Gita, giving in charity in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. In the 17th chapter in particular, verse 20, Krishna mentions, adatvam iti yadanam dashe kalaye chaprita cha. Tad danam sattvikam shmatam. Danam means charity. Charity given out of duty. It is my duty to give in charity, for I am a grihastha, I think. Probably more of a grihamedi, but regardless, it's my duty. Charity given out of duty without expectation of return at the proper time and place and to a worthy person is considered to be charity in the mode of goodness. The following verse, phalam va punnaha divyate cha tad danam is continuous, tad danam rajasam smritam. But charity performed with the expectation of some return or with a desire for fruitive results or in a grudging mood. Sometimes you don't want to give it, but out of duty you give it in a grudging mood. It's said to be charity in the mode of passion. And then 22nd verse. Tad tamasam udritam. And charity performed at an impure place, at an improper time, to unworthy persons or without proper attention and respect is said to be in the mode of ignorance. And we see that Lord Nityananda, he is the most charitable personality ever. One time, in one particular year, Gauranga Mahaprabhu mentions to Nityananda that, could you go back to, this was in Puri, and the Lord said to Nityananda Avadhut, can you go back to Nadia and be with Mother Sachi, because she's really missing us. She's in separation. So Lord Nityananda, he left, and he went back, and when Mother Sachi took darshan of him, Mother Sachi was truly elated, and she was delighted, and she said to him, please remain here on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis. Please remain here. Do not leave. So the Lord Nityananda, he took residence at the intimate devotee, very advanced associate of the Lord, Hiranya Pandit, and he resided there. And the Lord was exceptionally effulgent on a daily basis. He would decorate himself, and every finger had gold rings. I've got one little ring here, but can you imagine all the fingers having gold rings? And then he would put pearl necklaces, gold everywhere, gold earrings, and he looked exceptionally majestic. very, very attractive. And one Brahman dacoit noticed the Lord. And this Brahman, he was a Brahman, but he was a dacoit. He was a gundo. And he thought, I'm a Brahman, this Nityananda Avaduta should be giving me in charity. He's got plenty of gold on him. So he should be giving me in charity. For I am a Brahman. I may be a dacoit, I may be a thief, and he was an exceptional thief. He had a huge gang of thieves following him, and everything was planned to detail. He would rob anyone and everyone. So he's thinking, Nityananda Avadhut, now, you know, he's, Lord Nityananda is walking like an elephant everywhere. Very powerful personality. Very magnanimous, majestic, huge, very appealing to everyone. And the Brahman dacoit, he thought, if we ask for charity, he may not give it. If we ask for the donation. And all I want is the ornament. The rings are very pleasing. And then he planned how to get this charity. Basically how to nick it. How to steal it. So he thought, okay, Lord Nityananda is currently residing at the house of Hiranya Pandit. And we'll wait for night time. And for sure, he won't give away the gold. So as a Brahman, you know, we can just take it. So he lectured like this to his big group of dacoits. And they planned everything. And at night, we will break into the house. And we'll take it all. So night came. And they're planning. They're planning everything. They get near the house. A very nice, majestic house, large. Lord Nityananda is peacefully resting. But as they come near and near the property, somehow, due to Lord Nityananda's influence, they just fall asleep. They're unconscious. And they just lie down on the ground, snoring away. They're asleep in samadhi until the morning. And the Brahman dacoit, he gets up, he's thinking, what happened? It's morning already. Did we all fall asleep? And he kept on then arguing with the other dacoits. This is what the thieves do. He might have been a Brahman, but the association is so acute. He then became, you know, very defensive that, why you didn't wake me? So they were blaming each other. And then he said, okay, no problem. We'll come back the following night. Tonight will come back. So they waited and waited for the night. And it was a long day. They waited. And in the night time, they came back. They came back. And this time, Lord Nityananda had tight security. Fort Knox. And he had guards patrolling the entire property. And these guards were not normal guards. They were huge kshatriyas. Very Herculean. Very frightening. And they were patrolling to and fro. So the Brahman dacoit, he said, we can't do anything. This is like Fort Knox. So there must be a lot of value in that house. Nityananda Avadhut is very wealthy. We must take his wealth from him. So he's thinking, okay, let's wait for a few nights. By that time, you know, the security would have dwindled. And there wouldn't be much of a problem. So we should wait. So they waited for 10 nights. And now the third attempt appears. At the third attempt, they get near. Wonderful, there's no security. I mean, this security was quite impressive. We have Kaveri Prabhu at the top of the gate probably now. But can you imagine if there's hundreds and hundreds of Kaveri Prabhus patrolling everywhere, doing tight security and fully armored with spears? It's quite, you know, unpenetrable. You can't get through. But now when this third attempt, the third night, The Brahman was there with his entire entourage of thieves, and there's no one there. Wonderful. They get closer and closer. All of a sudden, Chandradev disappears. There's no light. It becomes completely black, dark. And they blinded. Nityananda blinds them all. And because they can't see, and for some reason, throughout the entire property, there were ditches and trenches dug. And Lord Indra, due to his influence, sends the rains. Yesterday was an unusual day, wasn't it? We had hailstones and all of a sudden the sun would be out. It was incredible. It was like Lord Indra's, you know, messing around. So Lord Indra sends these hailstones, and they were like golf ball size hailstones. And they landed on the thieves. And they lost their balance and they fell into the trenches. One fell this side, another fell that side. And they were just unconscious. And as they fell, the rains, they just filled up the trenches. You know, we go along the Dharammarg, sometimes there's puddles everywhere. Outside in the front gate, there's water everywhere. So they just fell in the water, and they were bitten by scorpions and insects and all sorts of, you know, they were tortured. They were really, really tortured, these dacoits. But all along, Nityananda is purifying them. At the end of that session of torture, at the end of it, the Brahman, the dacoit Brahman, realizes the position of Lord Nityananda. He receives his full mercy. For Nityananda, Lord Nityananda could have easily given in charity all his wealth. Because to him it's nothing, it's absolutely nothing. But more so than anything, he wanted to deliver these dacoits. He wanted to deliver the fallen Brahman. And so, at the end of that session of acute torture, the Brahman realized. And in the morning, he rushed in to the house. Rushed in with his hands waving in the air, and he paid full dandavat pranams. And he was just in awe and reverence of the Lord, offering prayers that, please deliver me. For I wanted to rob you. I wanted to take charity forcibly from you, being a Brahman but a dacoit. But you have shown me the true path. I wish to surrender fully. So this is Lord Nityananda, who is the most magnanimous personality and exceptionally charitable. There, yesterday, I was looking at the calendar, and generally, you know, when I kind of prepare for a class, I'd like to see if there's an auspicious day. Today, there was nothing on the calendar. But yesterday, there was the disappearance of Abhiram Thakur, a very intimate associate of the Lord, Abhiram Thakur. And there's a very intriguing pastime in the Chaitanya Mangal, and it's very nicely detailed in the Navavraj Mahima. And that pastime reveals to us how Lord Nityananda discovered Sridham. Sridham is the brother of Srimati Radharani. And when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, left, Sridham was in denial. When he was told by many individuals that Krishna has left, but he was in denial. He was continuously searching for the Lord. Eventually, he takes samadhi underneath Govardhan in a cave, and he takes samadhi, and a year passes, a decade passes, a century passes, a millennia passes. 4.5 millennia later, he's still in samadhi. And when Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda appear there in Vrindavan, Mahaprabhu said to Nityananda, go and fetch, someone has been waiting for me for a long, long time. Go and fetch him. Nityananda Avadhut, he says, well, who is he? Oh, don't worry about that. Just go and fetch him. Now, generally, Lord Nityananda doesn't do anything with it. You know, if he's told, he won't do anything. Only if he's told by Lord Chaitanya. Because both of them are swatantra. They're fully independent. They don't need to be told. But regardless, then Nityananda, he then goes to where this personality had taken samadhi for 4,500 years. And he enters that cave and he sees Sridham lying there in samadhi. So when Lord Nityananda comes close to him, immediately after such a long time, Sridham regains consciousness. He's fully alert. And he looked up and he said, oh, Balaram, you're here. Where is Krishna? Take me to him. Lord Nityananda, he says, well, I'm not exactly Balaram, but, you know, I'm Nityananda. I know where Krishna is. I'll take you to him. Come with me. So he takes them. And when Sridham meets and sees Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, takes darshan of him, he turns to Nityananda. He said, this is not Krishna. Nityananda says, this is Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's Krishna. No, this is Srimati Radharani. And Nityananda says, he's a combination of Radha and Krishna. Oh, he's a combination. Full Dandavat pranams he gives. And then when he gets up, he's embraced by the Lord. And the Lord said, look, you know, you're too tall. This is now Kali Yuga. You need to shrink. So his size reduces. And that is none other than Lord Chaitanya then names him, and he names him as Abhiram Thakur. And yesterday was his disappearance. Time is ticking away. I wanted to conclude today's class by sharing with you, as the summary of this entire class is given by, in essence, it's given by the great Thakur Bhaktivinod. So yet again, I'd like to sing the poem. This is the Saragri Vaishnav, Protector of the Devotees. It's entitled Protector of the Devotees of God. Somewhat of an unusual title given to this poem. I'm sure a lot of you have heard it. It's compiled by the Thakur, the great Thakur, and it's in Old English. Now, my English isn't that good. I did CSE English back in the day, because I wasn't qualified to do O-level. But this is Old English, and the Thakur compiled this in 1871, which details the futility of attempts for sensory happiness, and establishes the eternality of the soul, and the worthy struggle of the soul to achieve pure devotion and transcend material existence. It's 22 verses. And generally, when you sing it, it takes about 6.5 minutes. But it's amazing. It's truly amazing. And I'd love to memorize it, but my ability is, it's not beyond, you know, I have to read it. And it goes like this. You have to bear with me, because it's sweeter when it's sung. Alas, for those that spend their days in festive mirth and joy, the dazzling, deadly liquid forms for their hearts in air employ. The shining bottles charm their eyes and draw their hearts' embrace. The slaves of wine can never rise from what we call disgrace. Powerful. Was man intended to be a brute in work and heart? Should man, the lord of all around, from common sense depart? Man's glory is in common sense, dictating us the grace that man is made to live and love, the beauteous heavens embrace. The flesh is not our own, alas, the mortal frame a chain, the soul confined for former wrongs should try to rise again. Why then this childish play in that which cannot be our own, which falls within 100 years, as if a rose ablown? Our life is but a rosy hue, to go ere long to nought. The soul alone would last for e'er, with good or evil fraught. How deep the thought of times to be, how grave the aspect looks, and wrath in awe become, O I, when reading nature's books. Man's life to him a problem dark, a screen both left and right. No soul hath come to tell us what exists beyond our sight. But then a voice, how deep and soft, within ourselves is left. Man, man, thou art immortal soul, thee death can never melt. For thee thy sire on high has kept a store of bliss above. To end of times thou art, O his, who wants but purest love. O love, thy power and spell deny, now melt my soul to God. How can my earthly words describe that feeling soft and broad? Enjoyment, sorrow, what but lots, to which the flesh is heir, the soul that sleeps alone concludes, in them it hath a share. And then, my friends, no more enjoy, nor weep for all below. The women, wine, and flesh of beasts, no love thee on thee bestow. But thine to love my thy brother man, and give thyself to God. And God doth know your wages fair, this fact is true and broad. Forget the past that sleeps, and ne'er the future dream at all, but act in times that are with thee, and progress thee shall call. But tell me not, in reasoning cold, the soul is made alone by earth's mechanic, lifeless rules, and to destruction prone. My God, who gave us life and all, alone the soul can kill, or give it all the joys above, his promise to fulfill. So push on thy onward march, O soul, against an evil deed that stands with soldiers' hate and lust. O hero, be indeed. Maintain thy post in spirit world as firmly as you can. Let never matter push thee down. O stand, heroic man. O Sharanagri Vaishnava soul, thou art an angel fair. Lead me on to Vrindavan, and spirit's power declare. There rests my soul from matter free, upon my lover's arms. Eternal peace and spirit's love are all my chanting charms. This great poem gives further indication of the Thakur's feelings of devotion, being stirred by his having the opportunity to live in the Dharma of the Lord. That's Jagannath Puri. That's where he was when he compiled these writings. He produced an outpouring of intensely devotional writings in 1871 at the age of 33. Corresponding to his first year in Puri, which marks the dawn of a preaching spirit. That is evidence in an essay called To Love God. In this short essay, the Thakur analyzes the great commandments of Jesus and compares the precepts of Vaishnavism, revealing the future evolution of Christ's teaching. Such wonderful writing. It's very, very deep. Hare Krishna. Once again, the verse and in conclusion, very much indicative of charity. And charity should be given. It's a lesson for me. I should give. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any corrections and comments? Gladly accepted. Questions? Not so gladly accepted. But thank you, Hare Krishna. I'm sorry I went on a bit. Jai Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Jai.